Good morning. Good morning. There we go. How great was worship this morning? Was that a blessing? I was so blessed by that. Just so blessed. I have an 8-year-old grandson, and a little guy here was 7. And my 8-year-old grandson is learning to play the drums. I was weeping at the thought of him being a part of worship and playing the drums. That would be unbelievable. And just the thought of that. But just a blessing to see young people grow and use their talents and their gifts in the Lord. Amen. Just a real blessing. This is nothing to do with today's message. Nothing to do with today's message. I'm going to say that one more time. This has nothing to do with today's message. Pastor friend sent me this. Jim, I know I shouldn't have done this, but I'm 83 years old. I was in a McDonald's drive-thru this morning, and a young man behind me was honking his horn because I was taking too long to order. He really was obnoxious, got really on my case, so when I got to the window to pay, I decided to pay for his meal as well as mine because it was the right thing to do, right? The cashier must have told him what I did because he leaned out of the window and waved at me, obviously embarrassed that I repaid his rudeness with kindness. When I got to the second window, I showed them both receipts and took both food. Now he has to go back to the end of the line. Don't blow your horn at old people. They've been around a long time. I love that. I'm turning 65 this year. I will try that. I think that was great. Again, it has nothing to do. When they said that to me, I was cracking up. I'm like, that's how you do it, man. That's how you do it. Today, I want to talk to you about my identity through Christ. And it's the theme we're going to have for the remainder of the week, my identity through Christ. Today's message, I believe, will be an uplifting, will be an encouraging message. It's going to be about you and myself. It's going to be about who we are. And I pray that God will use it for his glory. If we could just pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless our time. Bless the word of God, Psalm 139, that you would show us our identity that we have through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We come humbly and boldly before your throne of grace and ask your Holy Spirit's guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be reading mainly from Psalm 139. If you have your Bible, if you use your phone, it's all good. We're going to be reading from Psalm 139, verses 1 to 18. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 18. Amen? That'll be our main passage, okay? There's a story about a guy named, in Chicago's most famous gangster. Does anybody know Chicago's most famous gangster? Who might that be? Somebody said it. Al Capone. Very good, young man. Al Capone was Chicago's most famous gangster. And back in the 1930s, Capone had a lawyer named Easy Eddie. His name was Easy Eddie. His lawyer was Easy Eddie, who defended him in every trial, whether he was guilty or not. Easy Eddie made it, you know, was paid a lot of money to get him off and never they can go to jail. But Eddie got married, and his wife gave birth to a son. His name was Butch. And as Butch was getting older, Eddie was concerned that his identity was not what he wanted to convey to his son, was not the identity that he wanted his son to be raised with, that he was a lawyer for a gangster, the biggest mobster in Chicago. So he repented of what he had done, and you know, he was remorseful, and he didn't want to go through that anymore. So when the time came, he gave up Al Capone. About all that he handed the books, all the finances, all the crooked things that Al Capone did. And Al Capone was sentenced to 11 years in prison because of Easy Eddie's confession and what he made. But he wanted to change his identity. Weeks later, Eddie was gunned down by the mob. Capone's people shot him dead. I think it was near a bridge. But his son, as he was older, he was in his teens, saw that his father wanted to change. His father wanted to change the identity of their family. He didn't want to go down as a mobster. His son Butch went on to serve in the United States Navy, where he served as Navy's first flying ace. He took down enemy bombers in an attack in 1942. and Butch received the Congressional Medal of Honor in World War II. He is one of our country's heroes. Butch's father, Easy Eddie, made a change in his life so that his identity could be passed on, his new identity could be passed on to his sons, Butch. Young man, you know Capone was the biggest mobster in Chicago. Do you know what the name of Chicago's biggest airport is? O'Hara. Do you know who O'Hara was named after? Yeah, you got it. The last name of Easy Eddie and Butch was O'Hara. And they named O'Hara Airport after this fine man who went to the Navy, whose father repented of what he had done and changed their identity. Sometimes those things have to happen. Sometimes the identity that, not necessarily that we're given at birth, that we acquire through this life, needs to be changed. And the things that we can do to make that happen. I'm going to talk to you after the service. We've got a lot of background here about Chicago and gangsters. See what's going on with that. Our identity. So here's the questions I have for today. Three questions I have. What's most important? Ready? My view of who I am, number one. Number two, others people's view of who I am, number two. Or number three, God's view of who I am. Amen? Number three, right? I mean, it's important. My view of who I am is important. I have to identify who I am. I guess sometimes I need to be concerned about what other people view as who I am. Sometimes that goes to a fault. Do you know people, or are you one of those people that's more concerned about what other people think of you than who you really are? My mother is that person. I love my mom to death. She's 86, but she's always concerned about what other people have to say. What would Mary say? What would Ruth say? What would so-and-so say? Mom, who cares? Who cares? Just worry about what you have to say, what God has to say. Oh, I couldn't live with myself if they found that, you know, whatever it is. You know, Lord have mercy. God designed us in a particular and unique way. And this is a really important theme today. I wanted to share this because especially, we'll just use men for example. Like this, even this week, right? This week, as I've been here since Saturday, and I introduced myself to some people, and people came up to me, people who didn't even know me. People didn't know I was a speaker. And this is how it goes. Hey, Jim, nice to meet you. How are you? Good, good. I'm Ken. Hey, Ken, how you doing? So what do you do for a living? Oh, I work in pharmaceutical, and I sell printing for pharma. What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm an engineer for you know, Merck Pharmaceutical. Oh, that's great. You know, blah, 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 blah. Why is it? It's funny how when we introduce ourselves, we have to tell where we work and what we do, because then we have an identity. You see that? We have an identity. And it's okay, guys. It's okay that we identify ourselves that way, but that's not who we are. That's not who we are. I've been a prison chaplain for 40 years, and I'm a prison chaplain for 40 years. But that's not who I am. I'm not a prison chaplain. That doesn't identify who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a man of God. I'm a son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who I am. And with or without my position, and with or without my job, and with or without my credentials, I still am a child of God. Because that's who I am. And my job and my work and my position doesn't identify who I am. It does not. No, it does not. And sometimes I've met men, especially at my age, at 64, turning 65, and I'm using that a lot because it's at this age that a lot of my friends have lost their jobs. Jobs that they've been working at for 20, 30, 40 years, and they get laid off. And then they can't find a job because you're too old to get back into the workforce, but they can't afford a new job, and they get depressed. But their depression is not so much because they lost their job, it's because they've lost their what? Their identity. I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am. I was the purchasing agent. I was the marketing manager. I was the VP of this, and I was the blah, blah of that. And I don't have that. I don't know who I am. That's sad. That's sad. That's not who we are. That's not who I am. With or without a job, with or without a position, I am a child of the King of Kings every day. Every day. Every day. Thank you, Jesus. Every day. So let's go to Psalm 139, 1-6. And we're going to take these in pieces. All right. It's going to be four pieces. The first one, point number one, if you're taking notes, it's called Finding My Identity in Christ. Psalm 139, 1-6. And it says like this. It says, "You have searched me, Lord. You know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is in my mouth, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." This is David, and he's about to be, you know, his mind is blown. I love this scripture. He's like, whoa, you know, David's just like, I can't take it. He goes, "You know me, Lord. You know everything about me. When I'm up in the morning, when I go to sleep at night, you know everything. You know me. You even know the words that are coming out of my mouth before they come out of my mouth." And he finishes by saying, "You hem me in behind before you lay me down, your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me. I can't even take it. Oh, man, am I with you, David, or what? Am I with you or what? Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece. Would you please repeat with me? I am, everyone, I am God's masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. And don't let anybody tell you different. God says you are, so you are. You know why? Because the master made you who you are. That's why you're a masterpiece. A Rembrandt or a Picasso is wonderful because of Rembrandt and Picasso, and we serve a God much bigger than Rembrandt or Picasso, amen? The Lord of Lords created us who we are, and we are God's masterpiece. We are the greatest work that he's done, is you and I, we are. We identify ourselves that way, family, we do. One of the things that grasped me that the Lord put in my heart recently, that we stress a lot about, and I've got, I hope it's a solution that works for me, and I want to share it with you, okay? So that's all this is, okay? Too many times, and even in marriage, it's not that we don't love each other, we do, but sometimes we can be insensitive, we can be harsh, we can hurt feelings, whatever it is. In the workplace, people can say something to you, your boss, an employee, a family member will hurt your feelings by saying something that hurts you and causes you to lose your identity. Years ago, my wife, when we first got married 41 years ago, when we first were at a church in Philadelphia, 10th and Roosevelt Boulevard, Zion Church, she used to sing. My wife used to sing. So when we became members of the church, I was the youth pastor at the church, and my wife came up one day and she sang a song in front of the church. Now, this was her first time singing at the church. We were new to the church, and she did a great job. You know, she sang. She used to sing at the old church. And one of the sisters from the church came up to her and said, "You can't sing." "What? You can't sing? Yeah, you should pick a different thing because you don't have a very good voice." My wife never sang in church again to this day. She sings with the group, but she never sang a solo again from that day on. Never. How powerful are the words that can hurt us and what they can do to our identity and who we are? So I received this, and I mean, I received this from the Lord, I believe. And he gave me this, and I love this. I want you to grasp this. Please, if nothing else today, please grasp this. When next time someone comes up to you and hurts you and says, you know, "You're no good. You don't know what you're doing. You know, you're not very good at this or that." You know what you do? You say to them, you look at them in the eye. You ready? You're looking in the eye. I'm looking at you. You just insulted me. All right? I'm looking at you in the eye. And I say to you, "I don't receive that." And I walk away. Yeah, I don't receive that. Do you love that? I've practiced that. I have. I've practiced that. I had someone offend me recently, and I look up to them. I said, "You know what?" He says, "What?" "I don't receive that." And they said, and they're following me. "What do you mean you don't receive that? What does that even mean?" I said, "Yeah, I don't receive that. I don't receive that. That's not who I am. I'm better than that. I'm a child of God. I don't receive that." And they're looking with their head down. "What do you mean they don't receive that? I insulted this person, and they're not receiving it." And that's what you do. You don't receive it because that's not who you are, is it? No, you receive who you are. You receive that I am a child of God, and I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and I've been redeemed in the name of Jesus. That's who I am. I receive that, but I don't receive negativity. I don't receive that. So the next time someone comes up to you and tells you you're not good enough or you're not capable, whatever it is, you turn to them and you tell them, I don't receive that, and do better than that, and then walk away. Walk away. You know what I mean? Just walk away. Walk away. Because you leave them. You don't know what to do with that. You don't know what to do with that. I love that. I love sharing that because I think it blesses me. I also teach at a, this is a sad part of my ministry, but I teach at a youth prison, a prison for teens that are 13 to 17 years of age in Bucks County. And I've been doing it for about 3 years, and there's a lot of insulting and bashing going on at that age. Oof, I know, my wife's a middle school principal, that's all they do. But I taught this part, and it's amazing what it's done for the kids. It's amazing what it's done. And they're always coming up to me, yeah, so-and-so said I was a jerk. And I said, what'd you do? I said, I don't receive that. That's what I'm talking about. You don't receive that. And what'd they do? They got mad. They got really mad. I said, yeah, right? I love that. I love that. I love that. Know who you are in Christ. Know your identity, family. Know who you are. Point number two. So point number one, finding my identity in Christ. Point number two, losing my identity in Christ. Psalm 139, 7 to 12 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths of hell, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for your darkness is as light to you. You can't, here's one thing I know, family. You can't run from God, amen? You can't run from God. Have you ever tried to run from God? You know what happens when you run from God, family? And I've really learned this. When you run from God, he chases you. Because you can't, because I know, I do, I have accountability with like 15 men in my life. As an associate pastor, there's like 15 men on a monthly basis that I meet with for accountability. Iron sharpens iron. And sometimes they give up and they run away and don't want to do it anymore. And what happens? When they turn the radio on, it's a gospel preacher. When they turn the music on, it's gospel music. They run into the store, and there's a track on the table. They go over here, and there's a Bible. You can't run from God, because he loves you too much. He loves you too much. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, if I go to the hell, no matter where I go, you're going to be there. And you know why? It's because he loves you. And it's because he's not done with you yet. And he's got great plans for you. And that's why he made you and created you who you are. And I praise the Lord for that. And I know that my identity, that I don't need to hide from him, that I can be who I am all the time. I can be who I am. Another part, family, is that we got to be careful about our identity is not based on our possessions. It's great. It's great to have a nice house. I have a beautiful house. We have 3 cars. There's only 2 of us, right? Because we can. You know, we have a beautiful home that we've lived at for 30 years. My wife makes a good living. I make a good living. We do very well for ourselves. But what if it was all taken away? What if my house burnt down and my cars got crashed and we lost our jobs? Does it affect my identity? It hurts me. You know, it would cause hurt in my heart because I've worked hard for those things. But that's not who I am. My house is not who I am. My car is not who I am. The owner of the company that I work for many years, it's a large pharmaceutical company, the owner of the company, the same week I bought a Nissan Altima, and at that week I paid $23,000 for my Altima. $23,000, all right? He bought a $150,000 Maserati. $150,000 Maserati. So we both came pulling in together. I didn't know, he didn't know. So he gets out, he goes, you got a new car. Yeah, I got an Altima. It's great on gas. You know, it's practical. It's a great car. He goes, got a Maserati. I said, yeah, I see that. He goes, you want to go for a ride? I didn't want to go for a ride, but he's the boss, right? Sure, let's go in for a ride. So I get in his car, and he's just driving me around, you know, around development where we work, right? And while he's talking, I'm pushing buttons, opening up the glove compartment, messing around with the locks like a little kid. And he goes, what's the matter with you? And he goes, no, it's not that. It's just that, he goes, what? He goes, I just bought a $23,000 car. You paid $150,000. Yeah. And I got the same leather seats. I got the same horn. I got the same turning signal. I got the same locks. And besides that emblem in the front that says Maserati, and mine says Nissan, you paid about $120,000 more than I did for the same car. Well, I got to tell you, he was not happy. He stopped talking. He pulls into the driveway. He opens the door. He goes, get out of my car. He says, get out of my car. You're ruining the experience. Get out of my car. And I'm like, oh, goodness gracious. Relax, man. He goes, no. He goes, just get out of my car. You know why, family? Because I don't identify with a brand of car. I just don't. I don't identify with a status about where I'm at or my position. I identify as a child of God. And that's who I am. That's who I am. I'm a practical guy, and I live a practical life. There's a story of a young man who was seeking the answer to life. Just hear this. I'm reading this. He traveled to Tibet, because they said in the Himalayan mountains was the wisest man in all the world. And this young man wanted to find out the secret to life. So when he finally got to the top of the mountain, he was shocked to see that the man had nothing more than a chair and a mat in his house. That's all there was. It was an old, a small building, and in it was a chair and a mat and a table. And he looked at the wise man and he asked him, where's all your stuff? Where's all your belongings? The wise man said to him, where's all your stuff? Where's all your belongings? And he goes, yeah, well, they're at home. I'm just passing through. And the wise man said, so am I. So am I. Family, we're just passing through. Amen. We don't need to build wealth here on earth because we're building treasures in heaven. Amen. And that's where it counts. That's where our treasure is. That's where our heart will be. And that's where our identity is as well. Amen. Point number three. How do I accept myself? So point number one, finding my identity in Christ. Point number two, losing my identity in Christ. And point number three, how do I accept myself? Psalm 139, 13 to 16 says, for you created me, my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. One of my favorite verses. Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that well. My frame was not hidden from you. It was made in a secret place when it was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Everyone, please repeat after me. I am. Everybody, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are all wonderful. Amen. Yes, you are. You're all fearfully and wonderfully made, and God made you that way. It says in Psalm 139, I love this. He says, you knit me in my mother's womb. You are not an accident. You are not an accident. You weren't mass-produced in some assembly line. You were deliberately planned, specifically gifted, individually. God had a purpose and a plan for each and every one of you. Each and every one of you has a purpose and a plan that God, and the fact that you're still here, the fact that he has not taken you, the fact that he has spared your life is because God is not done with you yet. Amen? No, sir. Because if he was done with you, he'd have taken you by now. And I believe that every day when I wake up, I guess you're not done with me yet. And I see it like that every day. That God still has a purpose in my life. And he is shaping me every day. Every day he's shaping me. But I need to learn to love myself too. I need to learn to love others. But family, too many people, you got to learn to love yourself. And understand who you are as same as you love others. There's no two leaves the same. There's no two snowflakes that are the same. And there's no two people that are the same. The last of this part number three, We need to love ourselves. We also need to forgive ourselves and forgive others. Amen? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is part of our identity, family. It really is. That's a big one. I struggled for many years with my identity because of my dad. I have a lot of dad issues. A lot of you know my testimony. My dad left my mom when I was 16 years old. He left her for a girl who was 17. And I'm the oldest of four. And I had to vent for myself. I had to take care of my two brothers and my sisters and my mom. My dad went off and he was sleeping with every woman in the world. My dad was a singer-songwriter. He was a local celebrity. He wrote a couple albums. And it got the best of him anyway. And so I struggled with that. I struggled for years. I couldn't go to college. I ended up going to Bible college instead, which changed my life. It was career changing at night. But I had to take care of my family. And for years, my dad and I didn't talk. I didn't see him. He was in and out. He'd pop in once in a while. But I was hoarding horrible anger and unforgiveness toward my father for what he did. He took away what I wanted to do with my career, what I wanted to do in my life, and I wanted to be a full-time photographer and have my own studio, and God deterred it because God uses bad for good because that's how he works. But anyway, years later, when I was like 40, my dad knocked on my door. And I said, yeah? And he said, I need your help. And I said, well, what do you need? He goes, I have fourth-degree cancer, and I need help. And I got to tell you, family, it was not easy for me. It was not. And I was, at the time, I was Spanish pastor in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. I was a Spanish pastor. And Iris looks at me, and my wife says, Jim, practice what you preach. Never forget her telling me that. Isn't it great when the wife knows just when to interject that one, right? I said, practice what I preach, huh? Yeah, practice what you preach, Jim. Yeah, I'm so glad I don't need the Holy Spirit. I got my wife. Thank you, Jesus, right? And man, I wasn't ready for that at all. He had fourth-degree cancer. He was given a year to live. So I got together with my brothers. We talked about it. We prayed about it. We ended up helping him. We took him out of Jefferson. We took him to Fox Chase Cancer Center, and they were giving him treatments. I had to take him every week to get his infusions and all stuff, and I'd go to his house almost every day. He was throwing up from the chemotherapy. He was soiling himself in his diapers. It was a mess. I'm being specific because you got to understand this. So one day, I'm picking up towels of vomit and crap on the floor, and I'm wiping it with my hands and a towel, and I'm walking away from the bedroom when my dad turns to me and says, you need to be here more often. You need to help me. My wife wasn't there. I'm looking around for the Holy Ghost because I'm like, Lord, I need some help here now. And I said, excuse me? Again, one hand of vomit and the other hand full of crap. I'm just being honest with you, family. And he's in the bed and he says, you're the oldest. You're supposed to take care of me. You know, I'm dying, and you're not here every day. I said, no, I'm here every other day because Tom and Ryan are helping me out. Well, you're the oldest. You need to help me out. You need to be here every day. And family, I will tell you that all those years of anger and unforgiveness came over me like you can't imagine. It just came over me. And I just wanted, quite frankly, I wanted to take the pillow and put it over his face is how I felt. That's how I felt. I'm just being honest with you. I wanted to end his life is what I wanted to do. Did I tell you I was the associate pastor, right? And as I'm getting ready to unleash years of anger and unleash years of bottlement inside of me, I did hear, and I mean, Lord, I felt this presence of God come over me and said to me in my heart and in my spirit, he said, no, you need to forgive him. And me and God got into it that day. And it was ugly. I got my fists in the air. I said, God, let me have this. Give me a minute with my dad. He screwed us over, Lord, and I just want to get a little peace of mind here, Lord. And he said, no. He said, you will forgive him the way that I have forgiven you, or you don't receive my forgiveness. That's what I received from the Lord. And I'm crying and I'm bawling. My dad thought I lost my mind because I'm yelling out loud. I'm yelling at the ceiling. He's in the bed. He goes, okay, come when you want. He was just like, he was just totally, you know, freaked out by the whole thing. And I went over to him, tears washing on top of him. And he's got his hands in the air because he thinks I'm going to kill him. And I said, Pop, God told me to forgive you. He goes, it's causing me to lose my identity for years. I've lost who I really am, and this is the last piece, and I need to let go. So I forgive you, Pop. And what I said was, I forgive you for all the crap you put us through, is what I said. And he said, okay, okay. And I reached over, and I kissed him on the forehead. And from that day on, he lived another 10 years, and I had a dad back. And we went to ball games, and he came to weddings, and, you know, he came to my house. He never asked for forgiveness back, but it was me who had to let go. Are you with me? I had to let go. And, man, did it help me. It lifted me up. It lifted me back to a place of who I really was in Christ. And, family, some of you need to let go. And there's some unforgiveness that is really heavy in your hearts, and you need to let go. And make peace with God, because it's going to ruin your identity. It really is. Point number four, my last point. Who we really are, our identity in Christ. Psalm 139, 17 and 18 says, how precious to me are your thoughts. God, how vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. David understood who he was in Christ. He understood that he can count on the Lord. He knew that he couldn't even sum up the grains of sand of all the blessings and all the things that God's done for him. And neither can I, because God's been nothing but good to me. Nothing but good to me. I was destined at the age of 16 to live a really bad life, but God spared me, man. I just want to share a couple of things. This is, I finish with this, but here, just the word of God is so good. It's so good. And I just want to read, this is who I am in Christ. I am alive in Christ, Ephesians 2:5. I am far from oppression. I will not live in fear, Isaiah 54:14. I am holy and without blame, Ephesians 1:4. I have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. I have the peace that surpasses all understanding, Philippians 4:7. I'm an ambassador for Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:20. I am the head and not the tail, and I only go up and will not go down. I trust in the Lord, Deuteronomy 28:13. I've been redeemed, Ephesians 1:7. I've been rescued by dominion and darkness, Colossians 4:13. I am healed by the blood of Jesus, Isaiah 53:5. I am saved by grace, Ephesians 2:5 and 6. And I am not ruled by fear because the Holy Spirit lives in me and gives me power, love, and self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7. Is the word of God good or what? Amen? The word of God is good. And it's who we are. And wherever questioning who we are in Christ, let's go to the word and let it remind us of who we are. Musician Bill Gaither said it like this. He said, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. When I look around this audience, and I don't know all of you, I've gotten to know a few of you just from yesterday. But what I see here are trophies. That's right, trophies. You're God's trophies. Some of you are messed up in drugs and alcohol. Some of you were in sin. Some of you did not know Jesus and were really screwed up in life. But God saved you and he redeemed you with his blood. And today you are a trophy, a masterpiece in the hands of Almighty God. And you are somebody great because God doesn't make junk. He makes masterpieces. Amen? That's who we are. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for Psalm 139. Thank you, Lord, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and we have an identity in Christ that can't be changed, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for creating us to who we are, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to make a different call. If you are struggling with your identity, if you say, Jim, you know, I've lost my way. I need to reconnect. I need to understand who I am in Christ so God can use me. So I can get back in track with God. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to ask you right where you're at to bow your heads as I pray over you and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, For those that are here this morning, Lord, that need this prayer, that need their identity renewed, to know that they are a child of God, to use us, to help us forgive each other, Lord, to love on each other, Lord God, to know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, Lord, and we are your children, Lord. Help us, Lord, to get back on track, to love you the way you want us to love you, Lord. We ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.